Good morning. So, while Jamie gets the projector switched over here, this morning we're going to talk a little bit about the first... Oh, I'm sorry. Children, you are dismissed for Children's Church. All right, so this morning we're going to talk a little bit about the idea of simplicity. It's the first of the four outward disciplines that we're going to talk about and cover. In studying about simplicity, though, I not that it's not an outward discipline, but hopefully as we move through here, you guys will see there's an inward focus to this as well that needs to happen before any of the outward actions really matter or mean anything. So I'm going to read a little bit coming out of Matthew 6. If you guys want to turn to it, you're welcome to. I don't know how well you can read what's up there, but I'm going to start in verse 25 and read to 33. But verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." So that goes through verse 32. In verse 33, this first section that I read, this verse ties all of those together. And I want us to keep kind of this in mind as we talk about simplicity for the rest of the morning here. I'll tie it back into this verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Without this, seek first the kingdom of God, none of the rest of these verses mean a whole lot to us. There's no way for us to do that. So as we move on through here and seek first the kingdom of God, will come up over and over and over. Hopefully, and that's what you can kind of take away from this. But let's talk about simplicity a little bit. So the original Greek word was hapalotes. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, but I'm sure no true Greek would be like, yeah, that guy knows how to speak Greek. But it's defined as singleness, simplicity, sincerity, mental honesty, one who is free from pretense and hypocrisy. It's only mentioned once in the New Testament. It's in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12. "For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so towards you." So the idea of simplicity, or the word simplicity, is only utilized once, or translated once into that. However, that Greek word is translated seven other times elsewhere in the New Testament, and it's used four different ways. Generosity, generous, sincere, and sincerity are the four words that are used to translate this Greek term into elsewhere in the New Testament. Just kind of with that idea that there's multiple ways we can look at this term, simplicity. What does that mean for us today? How does that look in our lives? We should hopefully have that sincere, hopefully we have that mental honesty in that term. That's kind of the core of simplicity, I suppose. So what does that look like? What is simplicity to us today? As we go about our day, is it frugality? Is it, oh, I'm not spending any money on anything. I'm saving everything I possibly can. I'm utilizing every little bit and piece of everything, and I'm being very frugal. Is that simplicity? Is it a lack entirely of possessions? The less stuff I own, the less things I have, the more simple, the more of a simplistic life I can lead. Is that simplicity? Is it asceticism? So this is a very strict adherence to avoidance of all earthly pleasures. Anything that brings you pleasure is avoided in asceticism. So that can be things, it can be activities, it can be people. I think of the strict, very, very strict Catholic monks who would kind of utilize this type of thing in a monastery where they're not connected with anybody. They're on their own. They may go long periods of time fasting and without, you know, clothing, without food, without talking to anybody. That is a form of asceticism. So is it that? Is it the abstinence from pleasure? Is it minimalism? And I think there's some correlations between the secular and a mindset of minimalism and maybe sincerity and simplicity. Joshua Becker describes minimalism as the intentional promotion of the things we most value and the removal of anything that distracts us from it. And I really like that definition. A lot of times when I think about simplicity and I have that idea of, well, I need to be getting rid of things, it's a lot about saying no to things. And that looks really, really difficult. But the idea of promoting what is most important, and if you go back to that verse, if we seek first the kingdom of God, if we promote that above everything else, if that becomes the focus, is seeking first the kingdom of God, and then everything else is added unto you, that seeking first is the promotion that we're looking for. We want to promote seeking first the kingdom of God, and from that, our life is going to portray the ideas of simplicity, the ideas of generosity, that freedom that you'll get from that by seeking first the kingdom of God. Richard Foster wrote that simplicity is an inward reality that can be seen in an outward lifestyle. Much like when we do baptism, what do we say that baptism is? What is baptism? When we go to baptize somebody, we say it's an outward sign of an inward change, right? So we do it already. We have these traditions sometimes in place in church that they're outward signs of inward changes. What we've talked about throughout these disciplines is simply the outward signs that are there because of an inward change. But without that inward change, seeking first God's kingdom, there's you might have those outward signs. I'm not saying it's impossible to live a simple life and not seek God's kingdom first, but I think if you do seek God's kingdom first, there's going to be at least parts of what we talk about that are scattered throughout your life as you go through a week, as you come here on a Sunday morning, as you go about your day. Matthew 6, verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." When we seek first the kingdom of God, our heart is pulled into the center of the kingdom and to Jesus. And again, that needs to be first. That needs to come first. We have to do that first. We have to be that first. Before we can do everything else and have it have meaning, we have to seek first the kingdom of God. And then simplicity then becomes less about what we say no to and more about what we choose to say yes to. If I intentionally throughout my day choose to say yes to seek the kingdom, I no longer need to say no to a bunch of things because I'm busy seeking the kingdom first. There's three inner attitudes of simplicity. To receive what we have as a gift from God, and so we're going to start talking a little bit. It can be possessions, it can be your talents, it can be gifts, be anything that God has given you. We receive what we have as a gift from God. God loves to give us things. Material things, he knows what we need. We read it in Matthew there. He understands our needs. He loves to provide them for us. Receive them as a gift from God. And then to know it is God's business and not ours to care for what we have. And as I read this the first couple times, I thought, man, that makes no sense to me. And I really struggled with that concept, that God gives us things, and then to me, that those things are now mine to take care of. And I think it's a matter of, what am I taking care of them for? Am I taking care of those things because they're mine and I want to keep them? Or am I taking care of those things in an attitude of openness, of I'm caring for these and protecting them and getting a return on what God has gifted me with to further God's kingdom here? Is that the attitude I can have instead of, no, I need to take care of this because it's mine. God gave it to me. Because I think we're called to be good stewards, right? We're not meant to just foolishly go through life and not take care of the things God has blessed us with. So I think we need to examine that well and see, how do I care for these things but still have that open attitude that they're God's? And then the third one is to have our possessions available to others. We were talking and discussing this a little bit this morning, and the question came up, well, how do I have my possessions available to others? What if somebody comes and steals Irvin's brand new riding lawnmower that he got? It's his possession, right? We should have it open to others. But I think there's a part of this that is within the kingdom of God, we should have our possessions available to others. We should freely give. We should allow people to use our things. Jesus told his disciples, you know, loan to people with no expectation of return. Give your things away. If somebody has need of them, let them have it. But it doesn't give somebody the right to live outside of the kingdom of God and to come steal from you, right? There's no life in that. And so I think we have the right to stand up for ourselves. We're not called to be wimps and to let everybody come take everything that we possibly could own and take it for themselves. But when we are called and we have an opportunity to give to those around us who have a need, we should do so with no expectations of return. So the kingdom of God, how do we seek it? If that's what we're supposed to do first, before all of these other things can take place, how do we actually seek the kingdom of God? Neil Maxwell wrote that if the kingdom of God is not first, it doesn't matter what's second. If we don't seek the kingdom of God first, it doesn't matter what comes from that. Walter Rauschenbusch wrote and said, it is for us to see the kingdom of God as always coming, always pressing in on the present, always big with possibility, and always inviting immediate action. That one hit me pretty hard. That we should see the kingdom of God around us. And as followers of Christ, we are called to portray ourselves and our lives in such a manner that people see the kingdom of God around themselves. And as we embrace that, seeking the kingdom first, simplicity, the ideas of generosity, those things, those opportunities are going to present themselves, and we can choose to take advantage of those. So how do we live simply and seek the kingdom of God? What sort of effort do we make to pursue the kingdom of God? Do we need a suitable job where we're making, I don't know, $1 million a year so that we can take those funds in order to exert a virtuous influence? Is that what we need to do? The more funds, the more possessions, the more things that I can accumulate, the more power I have, and therefore I can use that power to impact for good. Is that the goal? Or is it that we should give away all of our money to feed the poor? And going back to the idea of what is simplicity? Is it the lack of possessions? Is so therefore I should get rid of all of my possessions and feed the poor and have nothing left? Is that how we seek the kingdom of God? Or perhaps we're to go out and preach the truth to the world that people are to seek first God's kingdom. Maybe that's what we should all be doing. Every one of us, we should all just go out and preach to everybody that we should first seek God's kingdom. And maybe that's the calling on some of us. Maybe it is. I was listening to a podcast on simplicity, and one of the guys in the podcast was talking about minimalism and that idea of getting rid of things. And he brought up the idea that we have a garage sale in our house, right? And if you're like we are, we've only lived in our house for like 3 years, and we have so much junk in our house that, like, if I could just have somebody come in and take all of the junk in my house and get rid of it, it'd feel like I have a brand new house again. Like, it is so full of junk that I need to have a garage sale. I can't even park in my garage anymore. It's all because Liz keeps buying things. I come home from working and there's 4 more bags of things on the... No, I'm kidding. But we have a tendency to do this, right? And everybody's laughing because, you know, we probably all do it. We all have our house just cluttered full of stuff. So then what do? Eventually, we get so sick and tired of our cluttered houses and having all these things, we say, we're going to have a garage sale. Or if you're like us, you drive it to the thrift store or you throw it in the dumpster, but... You have a garage sale. You get rid of it. You go through your house top to bottom. You get all this stuff that you thought you needed. And this was a funny quote, but he goes, you know, we buy a bunch of things we don't need to impress a bunch of people that we don't even like. But we go through our house and we get all of these things that we really don't need because we don't even use them. And we take them and we put them in a garage sale and we get rid of them. And now our house is decluttered. We're back to being minimalist. We're like, man, that's nice. I can sit on my couch and there's not a bazillion toys scattered around. And now, I'm not going to do this because I really like my shoes. I have like 20 pairs of shoes. I should get rid of about 18 of them. But we get rid of those things. How often then do we do that for our lives? And this was probably one of the most challenging parts of getting ready for this message, was thinking about my schedule, my weekly schedule, Monday to Sunday. How much stuff have I gathered over the years and just been like, yep, I'm going to add that in here. Yep, I'm going to add that in there. Yep, perfect. Boom, boom, boom. And I've cluttered my life with so much stuff that I haven't had any time, and we'll talk some more in the next coming weeks about solitude and studying and doing all these. Where's my time to do that? He said, the guy doing the podcast, he said him and his wife would sit down January 1 of every year, and they would write down all of their time commitments for the year, whatever that is, work, church, sports, hobbies, their kids' activities. Everything gets written down on a note card. Everything that they scheduled time for, they put on the table. And then they would take some time together and they would pray about these things. And they would ask God to show them, what do you want us to take into this next year? And they would start picking things up off the table. And as things would get picked up, they'd leave certain things would stay on the table. And they'd be like, okay, well, we're not doing that this year. Whatever that was. I'm like, man, I don't know that I want to do that. I like doing all the things. I like my busy schedule. But we need to declutter them. When do I have time to serve well in my life if I'm just running from one place to the other? And I'm feeling overwhelmed and anxious and stressed all the time because I'm doing all of these things. So how do we declutter in order to seek first the kingdom of God and to do that first? So the answer to all of these questions, no. Maybe to some of us, we'll do parts of them. Maybe to some of us, by seeking the kingdom first, maybe we will sell a lot of our things and give the money away to the poor. Maybe seeking the kingdom first for some of us means, hey, I'm going to go on a mission trip. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe that's God's calling on you. Maybe to some of us, seeking the kingdom first means we declutter our lives. We make time to serve in other areas, to serve our families well, to serve in church. Maybe we take advantage of other opportunities then. In closing, Soren Kierkegaard, who's a Danish theologist and philosopher, wrote this, that in a certain sense, it is nothing I should do, but become nothing before God, learn to keep silent, and in this silence is the beginning, which is, first, to seek God's kingdom. And we go back to Matthew 6, verse 33, and read it again. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When we seek first God's kingdom, those opportunities, all of those things, all of those good things, even, will flow naturally out of a life that is lived seeking God's kingdom first. And so there's a very real possibility in certain cultures and societies that we take these ideas of simplicity and we say, well, you have to do these 10 things. You have to be able to live with next to nothing, and you have to give away all this stuff. And it becomes a very legalistic approach of, well, now I'm watching what everybody else is doing around me, and well, you know what? If Marvin doesn't get rid of all his stuff, well, he's just not doing it right. And that's not the attitude we're looking to have. That's not what we're trying to accomplish. When I turn around and I say, well, no, I need to seek the kingdom first, and that gets in line, my life will portray that in whatever ways God lays upon me to do that in. Maybe that looks different for me than it does for Marvin. And it probably will. Most likely it will. And that's okay. But in order to do that, first, we need to become nothing. and then seek God's kingdom. Chris, are you closing? You want me to close? There's a song? All right. Matt, you guys have a closing song?